morning and welcome to the gathering of Christ Community Church. My name is JT and I am one of the pastors here. If you have your Bibles or want to grab one from the row in front of you, please turn with me to John 15 verses 9 through 17 as we prepare to hear from and encounter God through his word. This morning we enter into the week of Christmas. And during the Advent season, we remember God's great and sacrificial love for us in Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus really came. Born 2,000 years ago, Emmanuel, God with us, fulfilling the promises of Scripture. He lived the life that we did not. He died the death that we deserved. He was raised from the dead, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he currently lives to make intercession on our behalf, applying his cross work to every part of our life. In him, we have access to the Holy of Holies. In him, we have communion with God. In him, we have a very real connection to the Father through the Spirit. As his church, we, who were once dead in our trespasses, have now been raised to life and adopted into God's family. As we near the Christmas day, we reflect on Jesus' very real birth. And as we do so, let us be compelled to remember the very present and current nearness that we have to the risen Christ. Advent is not merely a story of old. And it's not just a future promise to behold, but in this season as the church, in this in-between period between Jesus' first coming and his return, there is also very real promises that impact every part of our life right now as we await his return. This morning, as his church, in this waiting period between Jesus' ascension and his return, we look at three marvelous and almost unbelievable truths about the gospel that come from John 15 as we learn to abide in the vine today and every day. In John 15, we're going to see these beautiful truths that we are loved by God, that we are befriended by God in Christ, and that we have been chosen by God. You are loved, befriended, and chosen by God. In my last church, there was this blue hair, older man that I loved. He was one of our oldest deacons, and he was a former minister. He sat in the same place in our sanctuary every week. And every week, you could count on Ron Mitchell to fall asleep. And he had this amazing snore. And he would sit with his cane in his lap, and as he dozed forward, you could watch him catch himself consistently. It was my first leadership retreat at Jefferson Avenue Baptist Church, and I was 25 years old. And I remember gathering in a small group, and Ron Mitchell was in that group. In these groups, we were thinking through every element of the church, reflecting in areas that we needed to grow. We strategized for the future. In this group, we had been talking for well over an hour, and Ron has said nothing, and he was awake. And I think at this moment, the worship minister had been verbally processing some ways to get the congregation more involved in worship. It was at that moment that one of our very wise elders looked to Ron, who had been quiet for over an hour, and he asked him what he thought. And I still remember this with great clarity as this humble man in a very simple way would say something that would profoundly shape me for the last 10 years. And this is what he said. I don't know a lot about any of this, but take it from an old man. Abide in the vine. God dwells with us through his Spirit. He makes himself known to us. And he is here with us. Learn to abide in him. In John 15, 9, Jesus speaks, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Just think about that for a moment. You are loved by God. And don't ever minimize the magnitude of that reality. Jesus says, so I have loved you. And the proof is this. He came for us. He really was born so that he would lay down his life for us. Jesus desired to come and save us by entering into human suffering for our sake, that he would come to die. He didn't owe it to us. He would have been perfectly justified to leave us in our sin, to leave us condemned, to issue his divine wrath, that perfect expression of his goodness and justice. He didn't need us, for he is perfectly satisfied in himself. In his eternal Trinitarian communion, there is a perfect love that exists between God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in God, there's a perfect union and harmony within himself. God is love. And Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, as the Father has loved the Son in this perfect Trinitarian love, the Father loves the Son perfectly and wholly without blemish. So whatever love you're thinking of right now in your sin-marred head, and that sin-marred body, and that sin-marred heart, it's going to come far short of the kind of love that Jesus is talking about in this love that exists between God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Kaylee and I have 4 kids, and I wish I could describe the depth of my love, intimacy, and connection that I feel with each of them. I remember the first time that I held my firstborn, April 26, 2017, and my whole life changed. I would do anything for them. And I try as hard as I can every day to show them the way that I love them. Try that in the way I snuggle them, in the way that I draw them near, in the way that I encourage them, hold them, give them my focus and attention, carry them, kiss them, hug them. And even on my purest day, in my purest desire, I fail them. I sin against them. I want to give good gifts to them, and I fail them. God's love is not like my love. It is so much more. Even to try and think about a way to link an illustration between my love to my children and the kind of love that God has within the Trinity comes far short. God's love is perfect, it's pure, it's safe, it's secure, it's unbreakable, it's unfailing. God is love. And so can you even just for this moment try to comprehend the kind of love, and this is a big thought, it's important for where we're going. Consider just how pure of a love exists and has always existed between a perfect and holy God within the Trinitarian union that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then hold on to that thought. Because look at verse 9 again. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. In our sin-marred mind, that kind of love is incomprehensible. Because the most amount of love that we can muster up within ourselves is still marred by sin. And yet this incomprehensible love, in all its perfection, is precisely the kind of love that exists for you by God. As the Father loves the Son, so Jesus has loved us. Jesus loves us with this pure, unfailing, unmovable, unshakable, secure, unchanging love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide, dwell, live within my love. For the church, we need to remember that. We are loved by God because he wanted to love us. And we know this because he actually came for us. He was born and he came to die. I feel like every time I near Christmas, I end up preaching Easter. Verse 13, greater love has no more than this. This is what Jesus says, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You see this great love of God as Jesus entered into our suffering, even to the place of death. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him came the chastisement that brought us peace. He was oppressed and he was afflicted like a lamb that was led to the slaughter. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. By his knowledge shall the righteous, my servant, make many be counted righteous and shall bear their iniquities. It comes from Isaiah 53. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus did this. This is why he came. This is the love that he has for us, that he would lay down his life for us, that he would be born into human suffering, that he would die on our behalf. Some people give cute little Christmas cards as gifts. On Christmas, Jesus came to give us his life. Greater love has no more than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends. This statement from God should never lose its grandeur with us as we consider truly what it means to have been befriended by God. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. There's some verses in here we're going to come back to for application to abide. But let's focus in on what this means for us to be friends with God. I have called you friends. For all I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. We're seeing what it means to abide, to rest, to sit with him. How do you most often interact in your relationship with God? Is it merely through servanthood to the king? It's not bad to engage as a servant. All through Scripture, we see this bond servant language. He is the king and we are his. But is that the only way you interact with him? Is he only king for you? No, he's also brother and friend. He's never less king, and he's never less friend. How do you think about the proximity of your relationship to a holy God? Does it exclusively denote servanthood? I will serve God with my life. Or does it denote friendship with Jesus and sonship to the Father? Have you experienced that depth of that identity and connection to a holy God? John did. The gospel we're in, John did. That's why throughout the entire gospel, he refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. He's not referencing that he was loved more than the other disciples, but his prime identity is that he was loved by God. More than his name, more than John as an identification, he took on the reality of what it means to have been loved by God and to abide in that love. JT, friend of Christ and beloved by God, or rather, a friend of Christ, beloved by him, who happens to be named JT. Do you abide in his love so deeply, with such an intimate proximity to him, that you experience the depth of that identity? Maybe make it a practice to remind yourself the words of Jesus as you abide in his love. For us to be Jesus's friend doesn't make him any less king. Just as serving him as king doesn't make him any less of a friend. Jesus is fully king and fully friend all of the time. The problem with the way we make delineation lines, the problem is within us. The struggle is for us to take him at his word. And maybe that's because we're not communing and abiding in him the way he has invited us to do so. We have been befriended by God in Christ. He is the perfect friend. He's the definition of friendship. Abide in his love and experience his friendship. This is the invitation of this passage. He is the friend that knows you better than you know you. He is the friend who has drawn near to you. He is the friend who has welcomed you. He is the friend who has warmly embraced you with the kind of intimacy that your heart longs for. And listen, I get it. This almost seems impossible to wrap our minds around in an era that is considered by most to be the loneliest in the history of the world. Study after study brings to light the loneliness epidemic that we live in. And if we're honest, we've all experienced the depth of loneliness and isolation, the feeling of being misunderstood, the fear of being known and then rejected, the anxiety of assessing someone's love for us. Do they even like us? For as connected as the world seems to be through social media, it is incredibly superficial. And it's increasingly difficult to make meaningful relationships. Even with a desire to know and be known, the very notion of knowing and being known is as terrifying as it is liberating because of the fear of rejection. You long for friends, but you don't even know how to build the trust to have friends. Maybe you've had friends that you thought would be there for your whole life, and now you look up and they're nowhere to be found. We all feel that. Loneliness that creeps in no matter how connected you are. You think of friends that have come and gone. You feel the struggle to build trust with new friends who you fear will also come and go. As you age, you find it increasingly difficult to build depth in your friendships. And this is precisely why we must recover the doctrine of Jesus' friendship with us. But more than that, we must press into actually experiencing and encountering him as friend as we abide in his love. And then as a church, if we become marked with that reality, we all have the same common best friend. And so therefore, we experience friendship with one another in a new way. That will preach in our day. Jesus is the friend who knows you intimately. You stand totally exposed before him, and he's welcomed you. He knows your deepest thoughts, your hearts, your shortcomings, your failures, and your sin, and he's come for you. He came to die for you, to cleanse you, that you would be welcomed as his friend. Why? Because he wanted to. His heart moved toward you because he loves you and he likes you. In your uniqueness, he created you and he called you by name, beloved by God. He is the friend who never fails you, who never leaves you, who never ignores you, who never moves away from you, who never ghosts you, who never leaves your side. And this isn't a sentiment of old, and it's not just a promise of the future. It is our present reality right now. He is with us always, even to the end of the ages. He is here with us right now. Abide in his love. The risen Christ and King is our very present friend. By pouring out his blood on our behalf, he has befriended us. And he's invited us to know him intimately. He makes himself known to us. If you're feeling distance, that's not him. That's not on him. That's something within us. Maybe if you're feeling distance, you should approach the throne of grace with boldness. Draw near to him. Abide in him. Quit ghosting him. Quit ignoring him and his word. Quit moving away from him and his will. Quit sitting in apathy and perceived distance. And instead, abide in him. Sit with him. Look to him right now and abide in him. Find your home and your dwelling with him where he is, and he is here. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. If you feel lost or disconnected, sit with him. Quiet the loud distractions in your life. He makes himself, his words, and his will known to us. Abide in God, who loves you and has befriended you. Now, have you ever thought for a moment, like, how do we actually make friends? Person to person, like, how do friendships exist? You remember back in the schoolyard growing up. What does it mean to have a common thing that we become friends around? How do friends begin? A year ago, Ezra and Sable started playing in our front yard more than the backyard. They would ride their bikes in circles around our cul-de-sac, and eventually, a boy across the street moved towards them. He got on his bike. He didn't say anything that first day. He just got on his bike, kind of raced around the cul-de-sac, and then left. Then over time, they started riding a little more, started talking a little more. Then the girl down the street came. And this day, she like locked in and she just rode into the group and then rode out of the group. And they just did this over and over again for a long period of time until now they play almost daily. And so you might be sitting as you think about human friendships and you might be thinking, how did my friendship with Jesus begin? Verse 16 gives us the answer. Jesus doesn't let us go too far down that road without giving us the answer. It's because he made the move. You weren't just a bad friend. You were not a friend at all. You were an enemy when God showed his love for you by sending Jesus Christ to die on your behalf, to befriend you. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. There is so much confidence in that friendship. We wore that punk, bully, antisocial, uninterested rebel kid on the playground. stuck in sin and death. And Jesus made the move to come to save us and to befriend us. He chose us before the foundation of the world, and he set his affection on us. He moved toward us, died for us, awakened us, and gave us life, that we would be his forever, to commune, to abide, and to find rest in him for his glory and our good. And he has now, in the present day, invited us to embrace the fullness of our friendship with him in the Spirit, because we have access to him. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. All of the privileges of friendship, access to God, we didn't get here on our own. And this is one of the sweetest realities of the gospel. We live in these promises, not because of our strength, not because of our best effort, not because of the degree of the level that we achieved in our own loveliness. We didn't earn it, we don't deserve it, and we didn't do enough to get it. God moved toward us in Christ Jesus. It's in his love for us that he sent his son to die for us. It's in the blood that covers us that we can now go and bear fruit, the fruit that we were appointed to bear beforehand, that we would walk in them. As we learn to abide in him, the source of everything good in our life, we learn his heart, we hear his voice, and we can ask him, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to us, as long as we ask rightly. And by the work of the Spirit who dwells within us, we are guided and taught how to ask rightly as our hearts are being aligned with his will. The Spirit prays things that we don't even know how to pray. So let us learn to abide in him. He makes himself known to us. Let us abide to him, in him. Never lose the magnitude of what it means to be loved by God, befriended by the Master, and chosen by him. Abide in his love. And do so by keeping his commandments. Verse 10, I told you we'd come back to this. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. Al Mohler commentates that Jesus gives the disciples about 400 commands through the Gospels. As the Spirit leads us into obedience, teaching us to abide in his word, in his way of life, in submission to his commands, as we are being conformed into Christ's likeness, for our good and also our flourishing by the work of the Spirit in our life. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And it is true that Jesus tells us to keep his commands, all of them, and that we will have joy as we abide in him, his joy. But in verse 12, he narrows his focus specifically. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He comes back to it at the end in verse 17. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. The outflow of abiding in Jesus' love is that we would love one another. In fact, in 1 John, John was so impacted by Jesus' teaching here in the upper room that he would go on to build out this theology. Verses 14 through 16 of chapter 3. We know that we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. That's a hard word. But this we know love. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. As we abide in him and his love, as we know love, as we know his love, we will be moved to love our brothers in the same way. And if we don't love, we actually abide in death, and his love is not in us. I just want to be really frank. We need to get rid of all of these social, worldly justifications for how much of a measurement of degree of love we actually extend to one another. And instead, we need to love each other the way that Jesus speaks. There are too many people who proclaim Christ who lack love for one another and so abide in death. They abide in the message of the world and the desire of the flesh. Whereas Jesus invites us into his love, to know and experience his love, to abide in him and know him, to know great love. And as an outworking of this in our life, we would be moved to love one another. We know that we've passed out of death into life because we love one another. Loving one another is a fruit of abiding in his love. If there's no fruit, we must examine where the roots are. If we're struggling to love, let's not look within ourselves as a way of building up our love, but let's look to him and abide in him and his love. This commandment I give you, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. How has Jesus loved us? The way the Father has loved him. It's a common and true biblical paradigm to draw lines back to the love we've received from God. But in this passage, Jesus takes it a step further, and he looks at the kind of love that God has for himself. That's pure, perfect, holy, good love. John 15 takes this step of showing us the way that God loves us. He loves us the way the Father loves the Son, in perfect, pure, Trinitarian love. And as we abide in him, we learn this love. We learn love. As we walk in the Spirit, we learn to love. When we look within ourselves, we'll be tempted to do the things that the world does, to draw lines where the world draws lines, to have boundaries that the world has. But look at where the action is. When we look to God and we love the way the Father has, and we see the way the Father has loved the Son and the way the Son has loved us, the metric and the baseline for love is grander than we could ever currently comprehend. And so we learn to love when we abide in his love. The temptation for us is to deem who we think is lovable or not lovable, to measure them the way we give love and extend love in such a way that is dependent on that person. But let us love the way we've been loved by him. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Let us each press into that kind of love for one another. If you are my friends, if we've been befriended by God, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. It should last. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I have commanded you, so that you will love one another. You are loved by God, you have been befriended in Christ, and you were chosen in him before he even created the world. As we approach Christmas, we see the fruition of his plan and promise to come for us, to usher in all of these promises of the new covenant, to secure us to him forever. God loved us and he came to us. And now because of Christ, we have full access to him. And so let us abide in his love. And then as a result, let us be moved to do what he commands us, to love one another, to model the kind of love we've received as a people who have passed from death into life. The church, our church, Christ's community church, us as individuals and us collectively, should be a kingdom embassy that is full of friendship, that exists in the space of love, and that will preach in an increasingly isolated and hostile culture. Take it from Ron Mitchell, abide in the vine. This Christmas, as we consider his birth, we consider all that it means to have received this great exchange, that we would receive Jesus' righteousness and he would take on our death. We look to the resurrection, we see the price he paid. We see where he is as he ascended to the Father's side. He is the King that will reign forever. He is also our friend. Let us seek him and his will. He makes himself known to us. He doesn't withhold himself from his bride. Let us make a practice of sitting with him to hear from him. He is the friend that chose us and moved toward us. The friend who is here that will never leave us nor forsake us. Let us abide in him. Let us seek him where he is, and he is here. So let us be a people who increasingly spend time with him, with full access to God in Christ through the Spirit, that his joy would be in us and our joy would be full. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you for Christ Jesus. God, help us increasingly grow in all that it means to submit before Christ, the King, and to also have the intimacy of friendship. God, by your Spirit, help that truth permeate into the deepest places and crevices of our heart, that we would learn to sit with you, that we would abide in your love. God, we know and we see that every good thing that comes from us, every good fruit is a result of you. God, help us just sit and be with you where you are, depending on you in every moment. We thank you for the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, the friend who came and laid down his life for us when we were but his enemies. We thank you for this good news where we've been given a new heart, have the Spirit put within us, the law written on our heart, that you remember our sin no more, that we would have access to the Holy of Holies, that we would be sitting where you are and you are here. God, help us set our attention and our focus on where you are, to be with you, to marvel at that wonder. As we approach Christmas, God, we thank you. We thank you for the adoption as children. God, we love you, we trust you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to invite the band to come as we prepare to come to the table this morning. This church this morning, as a people, we look to Christ who laid down his life for us that we would find life in him. That because of his sacrifice, we would have communion with him. That we would be able to abide in his love with full access to him. All because of his great sacrifice on our behalf. As we come to the table this morning, let us encounter the risen Christ as master and friend. He really came, and he is really coming back for us. In a moment, the band will play a song, and if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, we invite you to take communion with us. During the next song, please come down, gather the elements, and